welcome to today's show of Understanding Your Superannuation. I'm really excited today to be interviewing a guest who I think you'll really enjoy listening to about the story of the business he works for and also his own personal story in the industry. So I'd like to welcome today Nathan Krieger. So Nathan Krieger, I've known Nathan for over 20 years now. He's the co-head of the client group in Australia at Dimensional Fund Advisors. And who is Dimensional? Well, Dimensional is a fascinating business. I feel very fortunate that I came across Dimensional early in my career. They were formed in the US in 1981 and now have over $900 billion of funds under advice. Over 1,500 employees. They've got two offices in Australia. They've been out in Australia for 28 years now. They've got one really strong investment philosophy. And if you're an advisor or an investor or someone with money in super, I think this is a business and a story that you really need to know about. And it's just how they've implemented these great ideas for finance over a very, very long time and really stuck to their guns around their philosophy and their values. And in any business, that's just so important. But the way Dimensional has been able to do it in an industry which, let's be honest, hasn't always had the best reputation in terms of putting perhaps the values of the end investor first. Well, here's one company that has done it and it's stuck to those values and it's really tried to bring the best ideas from finance and take them to the end consumer in the best possible way. Now, you might say, isn't that what the whole industry is trying to do? Well, you'd argue that a lot of parts of the industry haven't done that well. They've really put their interests first. And when you look at the Dimensional story, you look at how they've really stuck to the philosophy of, again, bringing these big ideas and these academics who have won Nobel Prizes who, you know, were working at Dimensional before they won the Nobel Prize, which is pretty important, and how they've brought those ideas. And it really, at the end of the day, they're to help people have better financial lives and better lives. So it's a fascinating story. Really thankful for Nathan to give us up his time today. And I think you'll really enjoy this story. If you haven't heard about Dimensional, fantastic. If you have heard about Dimensional, I'm sure you'll pick up a few new learnings from our time with Nathan today. So let's get into it. So I'm here with Nathan Krieger. How are you, Nathan?
Very well, thanks, Nigel. Yourself?
Very good. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm really looking forward to talking to you. But I'd like to start off with just asking you a little bit about you and what's your story.
Thanks, Nigel. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today. Look, my story is this as it relates to working in the field that I work in. I've been about 30 years in financial services. All of which have been in client-facing roles, other than a few years where I taught skiing overseas. And those times not skiing, I guess I've been very passionate about investments, working in investment management firms, in broking firms, and over the last 19 years I've been working at Dimensional. The last 7 years of that I've been leading our financial advisor services team, and recently that has become our global client group.
Wow, thanks, Nath. That's there might be a lot of similarities between skiing and investment management, perhaps, but maybe that's for another podcast.
That's another podcast.
So, that's where we first met as well. So I think we met on the ski slopes at university. So it's interesting how life evolves. But your career, you've had a great career at Dimensional. But and this story around investment and what you do there at Dimensional is really fascinating. It's a really interesting business case. It's a really interesting story. And it's evolved a lot in the last 20, 30 years. So, yeah, how did it all start? Like, how did this investment style and how did Dimensional get going?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good, it is a good story, Nigel. And the, if I can, I just share with you a brief story about my sort of finding Dimensional, if you like, as an employee. And then I'll tell you a little bit about the firm. But the firm itself has been around for about 41 years. It's been in Australia for 28 years. It was originated in the United States back in 81, which I'll share again in a bit more detail. And today, the 1,500 odd employees that work at Dimensional in different parts of the world are responsible for the management of around $920 billion on behalf of investors, again, all around the world. Look, the story of Dimensional is a really interesting one, and it's sort of parallel with my finding the opportunity to work there. Having thought, as I said earlier, being passionate about investing, I wanted to be very close to the markets and work in stockbroking, and worked through the period of the late 1990s and early 2000s when for those that can recall, it was what we call the dot-com era. There was a lot of excitement about these technology stocks, something akin to what we've seen in recent times. But at that point in time, I thought I wanted to be close to the markets, work in broking, and also personally passionate about investing in stocks myself. It was over that period of time that I thought it was as simple as looking at what was in the newspaper to invest well, and to diversify a portfolio of tech stocks was the right way to go about making, you know, a small fortune, which it certainly was in that early part of my career. And it wasn't until things turned around in markets in the late sort of 2000, 2001, that I found that my strategy of reading what was in the papers and investing in a diversified pool of tech stocks was not really sound. In fact, I pretty much torched my personal wealth at that time. Again, thankfully, it was only a small amount of money that I'd managed to amass at that point. And it was around a similar time that I was studying for my postgraduate studies in applied finance and investment. And I started reading about these ideas that really sort of resonated with me about the way in which we were understanding how markets operated, the way in which we understood where returns came from. And roll the clock forward about 3 years later, and I found myself interviewing for this firm that was not particularly well known in Australia. Dimensional was the company. And it was really interesting to hear this business that was applying these ideas from financial academia into the real world of investing, which brings me to, you know, where the company started from. And in that journey, I learned about the business that started back in 1981, that was started by David Booth and Rex Singfield, who had both independently worked in the United States on some of the first index funds in the early 1970s. And off the back of research that was coming out of universities in the United States in late 1970s, early 1980s, Dimensional was born, and it was born off the basis of research that showed that small cap companies had a higher expected return than large cap companies and were effectively behaved differently to large cap. They were a good diversifier for investors that had, you know, large caps predominantly in their portfolios, and investing in these small companies would be a good way to round out the diversity of a client of a portfolio. So that was what I learned when I started interviewing at Dimensional in those years, as I said, as a passionate student of investments and finance. And it really resonated with me, as I said, and I've been here since.
Yeah, fantastic. It's a really, I mean, the investment industry is obviously a fascinating one, and it intrigues a lot of people, and it obviously has all these different types of managing money, from picking stocks to hedge funds to crypto to all sorts of things. How do you, one of the success stories of Dimensional is to stay true to its, I suppose, label, so to speak, or its philosophy. Yeah, are there any good examples of how, I suppose, that's how you've done that as a business, and perhaps some of the obstacles along the way? Because it would have been tempting along the way to go, hey, you know what, there's some quick money to be made over here. I mean, particularly today, it feels like you're a pioneer talking about Dimensional, right? But imagine what that was like back in 1981, when it was a totally, it must have been a much wilder industry, and people with huge margins, and there wasn't as much data or information around. Now there's all this data and research and evidence, and it's almost like it's all there for the taking, but most consumers still don't want to take it. They still want to go and chase the shiny lights. And so for me, it's really fascinating seeing how Dimensional's built this amazing, huge, what, $920 billion in an industry that has pretty much everyone else, not everyone, but mostly everyone else has done exactly the opposite and tried to make a quick buck. So I'm sort of interested as to how within the Dimensional business, how, you know, there's been maybe some examples of how they've been challenged along the way, perhaps, to stick to their guns, where there's been markets like the value premium, for example, where it might have been a long period where it hasn't shown, or where small caps haven't performed for a long period, and how you've stuck to your guns.
Sure. Thanks, Nigel. There's a lot in that question, and I'll try and give you some examples that bring to life. I think if I stand back from it and summarize in the fact that, you know, the business has evolved over 40 plus years, and there's been a lot of different challenges along the way for both, you know, Dimensional and I guess investment markets generally. How has Dimensional sort of navigated that journey? I'd say firstly, the business evolved from a very strong research orientation. So, you know, the business was started, as I said, back in 1981 by David Booth and Rex Singfield, with evidence that came out of academia showing this small cap effect. And with that, this was at a time where there was no particular indices tracking those parts of the market in the United States, and down into the really small companies, which we call microcaps. Again, there's no sort of trackable area of the market at this point in time. So it's not like you're, you know, sort of building an idea to sell something off the basis that's understood. It's really off the basis of research that's literally fresh out of university, coming up with some sensible ideas that can be practically applied. And that research orientation has stayed very strong in the business over 40 plus years. So firstly, you know, it needs to have strong research. And I guess our researchers or our strategies have evolved as research has evolved. You mentioned, you know, value in your question there as well. In 1992, there was some breakthrough work by two gentlemen, Gene Farmer and Ken French, who are associated with Dimensional. Gene has won a Nobel Prize for his work on what's called the, you know, the efficient market hypothesis. And Ken and Gene are two of the most widely cited financial academics in the world today. But that 1992 work identified, you know, beyond small caps, also this concept of value companies. And a way to think about them are really just companies whose prices are low relative to, you know, some other metric of their size. You can use anything really from book values to, you could use other measures of a company size. But these value companies were identified as having a higher expected return, just like those small cap companies were in earlier, you know, in a decade earlier. But together, that information was the basis by which strategies evolved. And interestingly, as you point out, you know, we've been through periods where both value and small caps have not necessarily delivered a higher return relative to large caps and growth stocks, which is the opposite of value. And that can be challenging. That can be challenging for investors. That can be challenging for professionals, financial advisors, you know, big institutions alike. It can be challenging for Dimensional. But the founding principles, again, based on, you know, research, firstly, an idea that is, you know, a logical idea that, you know, that there should be a difference in the expected returns of small caps versus large. There should be a difference in value versus growth, and backed by decades, and in some cases, multiple decades of data that supports that. And we're not talking about, you know, 1 or 2 years here. We're talking, you know, from data going back in the United States to the 1920s, in other markets in the 50s, in Australia, you know, to the 70s and 80s, and looking at these, you know, these differences in stock returns in multiple countries, in multiple markets all around the world. That's the reason in which we bring strategies to life. That's the reason we stay committed to those sort of strategies. That's the reason that we'd work with professionals like yourself and others to help investors understand the nature of these. Again, it is challenging at different times. And I think, you know, for example, value has had a really strong turnaround in recent, you know, 12-month period after, you know, 2-3 year period of very difficult performance. While we've seen a lot of growth companies have a higher return than what we've seen them have in prior periods, so it's often challenging. But again, I see the fundamental base has gone back to that rationale of research-oriented, research-led understanding has led to us to develop strategies in consultation with clients and professionals like yourself that meet client goals, that meet investor needs. And investors may have needs to fund something, you know, later in life, be it retirement, be it school education for you know, kids, grandkids, or other purposes. And so we're trying to use that understanding that we draw from academia practically in the real world to help investors solve problems. And that invariably comes with challenges. But if we go back to the fundamental roots, that's probably the best example that I have of navigating those over the years.
Yeah, no, thanks. And I have some really interesting insights there. I mean, one of the things that drew me to Dimensional, and I was always thankful for those initial meetings relatively early in my career, you know, over 20 years ago now, is that the business, and no matter who you spoke to in the business, just kept talking about, we're here to help the end client. We're here to help bring this data to life and let investors benefit from capital markets. And that's really quite rare, still is rare in the industry, where most institutions are really, you know, trying to produce products that might put them first before the client. And they're not saying everyone, but that has been a theme that we've seen a lot in Australia, and just look around the world. And that goes all the way through to some, you know, advisors and planners and brokers and the like. So It's a fascinating business case of someone who's been patient and being willing to build this amazing business, sticking to that philosophy of saying, if we do this right and we bring this story to the end consumers, they'll get it and they'll follow it. But not everyone, unfortunately, has access to Dimensional. But as they get access to that, they tend to really enjoy that. It's almost like that aha moment. They go, wow, this is fantastic. This is actually how things work, and this is how I should invest. I'm lucky to meet some pretty smart, like academics through Dimensional, but also some really good advisors around the world. And we ask them about how they invest. And these are people who don't necessarily need to tell me that they use Dimensional. I go, you know, I've seen it all. I've been in the industry 50 years, and all my own personal money is in a, you know, world allocation trust. And so it's confusing when they say, I look out the industry and see all these millions of people doing other stuff, when I've seen it all, and now this is where I go. So it's a story that needs to be told, and that's what we're here to do, to try to share the story with more people, to understand that there's a really smart way to invest, and you can really use this data to your advantage, really, as an end investor. So I guess where I was leading to there with that long-winded sort of entry to that question was, how does your investment approach really set you apart? Like, what are the two or three things that you say, well, this is how we are so different from everyone else that manages money?
Yeah, that's a good point there, Nigel. I think the reality of finance is no different to other industries, where there's obviously a lot of competing interests from various businesses to attract the attentions of consumers to sell products, effectively to vend their services. And investments and financial services is no different to many others. I guess as what we observe from understanding, you know, how markets operate, where returns come from, and then how we can utilize that to help investors get a good result is, firstly, it's a long-term proposition. So I think it's really critical to have that in your mind when you're thinking about investing, and often people confuse investing with speculation. And as we've discussed over the years, there's a big difference between that. Investing is about multi-year time periods. It's about understanding the big picture. I'm not getting carried away with, say, short-term themes that may actually derail what is a long-term proposition that's supported by a long-term strategy to meet, you know, in many cases, life goals. So I think that's really fundamental. So as I said, when you think about that application to what it is that Dimensional do and how we operate within our part of the market, our part of the industry, research is really critical. We have a very strong research team. I think that distinguishes our business quite well. We have, firstly, very strong associations with academia. There's five folks that are associated with Dimensional that have won Nobel Prizes in economic sciences over many years, and I can proudly say that none of them were selected to work closely with Dimensional after they won the Nobel awards. They were actually working on some of the leading, you know, breakthroughs in finance prior to being recognized by the Nobel awards that they received. Those folks, for those that are interested, are people like Merton Miller, Myron Scholes, Gene Farmer, who I mentioned a little earlier,
yeah,
Robert Merton, and most recently, Douglas Diamond. So I think those associations with some of the leading minds in academia is really quite a distinguishing fact. And there's other folks that are some of the leading thinkers in finance theory, like Ken French, like Robert Novy Marks, that are constantly pushing our understanding of how markets work and where returns come from, and what can we use this information for to improve our understanding and therefore improve investors' experience. Now, we often talk about it at our business that the ideas are bigger than the firm itself, because all of these works are not proprietary to Dimensional. These are in the public domain. And so what we've observed in 40 plus years is it's really the application of those ideas that's really critical. And in some cases, yeah, I asked the question before, Nigel, about the the obstacles or challenges we've experienced along the way. And there's a wonderful story of David Booth when he started, you know, developing these first small cap and micro cap funds in the United States. Some of the academics associated with the firm were very skeptical that he would be able to implement these ideas, because the costs of trading big groups of small companies that are often not traded frequently, and we talk about that having low liquidity or not much volume in the market, it means that you end up paying a cost to trade them. And the skepticism was resounding that they didn't think that he would be able to effectively find a way to implement this small cap portfolio. And subsequently he did. And the business, we've done that over many years. So the ideas are bigger than the firm itself, but implementation is critical. And so you have to have both systems and understanding of what the real world costs are. You know, it's fine in ivory towers and public research papers to talk about these effects, but in the real world, we're dealing with taxes, we're dealing with trading costs, we're dealing with other market frictions, investor behaviors and the like. So again, application of the ideas that makes a difference. So as I've said already, I think the strength of the associations with academia that we have is unique, extended into our research team within Dimensional. And I can't recall the total number of PhDs that work within our research team today, but we're talking in excess of 50, I think is pretty confident to say. The implementation of the ideas that's critical. And I think the other aspect to me that's really unique, Nigel, goes back to, again, the fundamental understanding that we're not here to try and effectively flog a product. We're trying to work with professionals to deliver great results. And that partnership that we have and I think have forged with folks like yourself and other financial professionals around the world is really key, because it's one thing to have great investments, but you need to understand what those investments are going to do, how they can be used to inform a plan to meet certain goals. How do you translate that sort of, you know, value of, you know, being able to go on that holiday, to buy the car, to upgrade the house? How do you translate that into numerics and then, you know, have a plan in place to achieve those goals and to navigate that through time? I think that's really key. And that's where we think the role of advice is absolutely paramount. And so I think that's a pretty unique difference of our organization. Again, if I go back to my interviewing at Dimensional, one of the things that really excited me was to work with, as you've pointed out, some of these great financial professionals around the world that really understand well client goals, often values, and can translate those into financial plans and strategies to help people achieve their goals. We at the end of the day, are just a piece in the puzzle. We're a custodian of people's assets, and we take that immensely seriously. Every dollar invested with us represents a lot of hard work from someone or many people to accumulate that. And it also represents the goals, the aspirations, the dreams of that person or those individuals' future. So it's a very important role that we play. But without the role that we have with professionals like yourself in helping an investor understand what that means in terms of investment strategy to meet their goals and objectives, I think that's difficult. And Dimensional's been a business that's been acutely focused on working with professionals, unlike many other of our competitors that may have a range of different people they're willing to sell their funds to. We spend a lot of time trying to work with those that really understand their client, put their clients first, and can deliver great results for them.
Yeah, again, thanks, Nathan, for that explanation. I think one of the key experiences, I suppose, but working with Dimensional is a really that professional relationship, but it's completely unique to any other institution that when you're working in the industry you experience. And even though there's lots who have maybe tried to do a little bit of it, they're not really genuine about it, so they're pretty much constantly coming back to their product, where I'll explain to other advisors who are asking me or clients and saying, when you engage with Dimensional, it's a bit like how we engage with a client. They actually don't talk about their products much at all. We can come to a whole conference for a day or two and you don't bring out one fact sheet on your fund. Just like when we're talking to clients, we often don't actually talk about the detail, like we don't talk about BHP or we don't talk about Commonwealth Bank. We talk about the strategy and the structure and how we implement that. And really what we're all trying to do is get clients to get the best possible outcomes they can, or the most certainty as possible. And as a professional advisor, as an industry, that's our role. And I sort of talk to other advisors through the Scientium, obviously, banner, where we're talking to other advisors and they might not already use this type of investing. And we just discuss around what their role is and say, well, if you believe in strategy and structure, which obviously they must, they want to help their clients achieve their goals, then how are they going to implement that with as much certainty as possible? And they sort of start to have a discussion around how they do it now. And you can see them start to click going, yeah, there's a lot of gaps in that process. There's a lot of gaps, whether the manager gets it wrong, whether they've really got a robust series to it, whether they're using their own, you know, they sit there every day and they try to pick stuff, you know, how robust is that? You've got a responsibility at the end of the day to look after hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars of clients' monies. And
you can't honestly sit there in front of the client and say that your process has got gaps in it. You need to have the best possible, where you can look through that and go, hey, we're using this firm that started in 1981. They've got four Nobel Prize winners who've been part of that research. They've got over 50 people with PhDs constantly analyzing that. That's pretty good. I mean, that's giving someone close to 100% certainty that things are going to be okay in an industry where people haven't been okay, where people have been, you know, lost money or it's been scammed or they've just had really poor outcomes. So I don't know any other way where you can give clients that certainty. Now, obviously, I don't work for Dimensional, but, you know, our role as independent advisors is to search for something better always, you know, and we just can't. Like, we just go, hey, this, we keep landing here until something better comes along. Because there's just nothing as robust, and I can go to sleep at night knowing that my clients' monies are safe, and they can go to sleep at night knowing that money's safe, and that's all we're about. Because the strategy and structure, we can get that right. We can listen to them, understand their goals, but unless we have that sort of process and that level of detail behind the scenes in the investment management, then you can't be sure. You don't want to sit there and go, I've got 90% certainty, or you know, you want to have 100% certainty that their investments are going to be okay.
Well, you're dealing with a lot of... Sorry, go ahead.
And not only get the investment returns we should, but also just be okay that there's no unwritten surprises. Or one of the things I like, the quote I got from Dimensional, you never want to have to say sorry to a client. As we train our younger advisors through saying, that's part of it. You know, we don't want to have picked some obscure investment that sounded good at the time, but hey, for some reason, things didn't go right. And you've got to sit there in front of a 65-year-old retiree saying, hey, part of your portfolio is now gone. I mean, that's just not what your role is. You shouldn't be even... ever have to have that conversation. And yeah, so sorry, what were you about to say?
No, I mean, look, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's fundamentally, you know, we're working in a profession here that's built on uncertainty, whether it be the uncertainty of how life unfolds for an individual and as it relates to the advice you're going to give to them through time, or investment markets, and we can predict what we think the future may hold or may not. But you know, either more likely neither of us are going to be right. At some point in time, you know, things will evolve, markets will change, prices are changing daily. There's millions of participants daily trading securities based on a lot of information, you know, and all that information is constantly being impounded into prices. So why would anyone try to build something on a false promise of exact results when that's just not known? But let's use information that's most reliable, that's going to give us the highest degree of certainty, the highest degree of probability, reliability, as you say, and let's have a conversation with investors around what are those ideas that we can all sleep well at night, and as you point out, you know, not have to say sorry for things that we didn't predict because we didn't predict them. It's an interesting one, but no matter how long I've been around in this industry, it continues to be something that, you know, people are curious about. So yeah, the more that we can share some of these ideas, hopefully they will resonate with others as well.
Yeah, I think that word, you know, that word trust, obviously with an advice industry globally that, you know, needs to build trust, and you can quickly erode that by, you know, behavior. But if you're able to honestly say to clients, in my view, that, hey, we don't know what's going to happen in investment markets, and that's not what our role is. Our role is to give you the best chance of success, and we can do that without being forecasters. We can do that without predicting. We can do that without me and Josh and Nick and the team sitting every morning trying to pick stocks. Then isn't that a great conversation to have, and an honest conversation, rather than the opposite of saying, well, don't worry, we'll trade out of this. We'll pick something else better next time. Or sorry about that one, but I'll find a better one. I mean, that's an awful experience for an end client, and it still goes on, you know, that will always go on to some extent, but for the right advisors, and that's what we're trying to share the story wider through Ascentium as well, then that's a great relationship you can really build by having some really honest conversations around, really, if most advisors sat there and looked at themselves in the mirror, do they really know what's going to happen in the market tomorrow? They might get it right tomorrow or the next day or the day after, but they're not going to get it right for the next 30 years, you know.
Right.
But some people don't want to have that honest chat, so, you know, it's... So talking about the journey, we've talked about some of those key academic breakthroughs and some of the amazing academic insights that we lean on, and we're lucky enough to lean on through Dimensional. Is there any key ones that have really changed the course of Dimensional? Is there anything that came out of academia went, wow, that kickstart, that the business went from here to here because there was suddenly a finding that went, wow, that's really made a difference?
Look, I think, you know, if you kind of sequence it on sort of a, you know, the timing. I mean, the real fundamental principles were sort of, you know, espoused early on back in actually 1966 with some of the work from Gene Farmer, which he was subsequently awarded his Nobel Award on the how markets operate, and that sort of notion of markets impounding information very quickly and setting prices very, very instantaneously and making it very difficult, as we've sort of touched on, to predict, you know, prices in the future, given the prices information we have today. So that was kind of, that was really fundamental. It's actually been a game changer for the financial markets more broadly. But, you know, the key breakthroughs, if I may, you know, relate to that small cap research in late 70s, early 80s that enabled Dimensional to run some strategies. One of the ones that's less talked about is the work that was done in fixed interest. And for many investors, fixed interest today may be of more interest than that has been in the past, as we've gone into a period of, you know, quite rapidly rising interest rates. And that asset class of fixed interest that has historically been the really rock solid defensive part of portfolios and really has negative returns. In many cases, we've seen some negative returns over recent years, but that's nothing that we should be concerned about. It's within the realms of expectation. We've had, you know, a unique period of rate rises, but, you know, that role of that asset class is very important for an investor to meet, you know, goals, obligations, and be diversified in the future. So I'd say it's a really important one. And the work that we did, or that Gene Farmer did on that, was actually back in 1983 that really gave us, again, similar conclusions that there's very difficult, it's very difficult to forecast in advance what's going to happen in fixed interest markets, but there's information that we can use within prices that helps us, you know, run investments for investors so they get the sort of returns that they should from investing in that asset class. 1992 was the breakthrough of what we refer to as value investing, as at least it relates to Dimensional's approach to it. For many that may be aware, value investing goes back to, I mean, Buffett's a big, you know, advocate of talking about value investing, and he often cites his mentor, Benjamin Graham, who wrote about value investing back in, you know, the early part of the 19th century, one of the founding fathers of investing, I would say. But the value investing work that was written up by Gene Farmer and Ken French in 1992 was a breakthrough, because it allowed us to think about value investing in a far more systematic manner, and identified a way to find companies that are valuey in a systematic way, and then apply that to running a strategy in a diversified manner. And it was tested not only in really long periods of time in the US, but actually extended into other markets all around the world. So as I said earlier, it's one thing to have a logical idea, it's another thing to test it in the data, and it's another thing again to test it both in sample as well as out of sample to ensure that it holds up. So there's just a few. In more recent years, it's been things like profitability that have enabled us to refine things further. They're probably the main breakthroughs, Nigel, as it relates to the evolution of the way that we think about markets and running strategies for investors.
Well, thanks, Nathan. It's been really insightful today, and as always, appreciate your time. But one of the things that you've recently obviously bring out as well is exchange-traded funds, which is really exciting. But where can people find out, for the people listening who this might be all new to them? I'm always staggered how many people have never heard of this, or evidence-based investing, or anything like this, and advisors who have been in the industry for 20 years as well, let alone the end investor. Where can people find out more about Dimensional? And obviously, I'll share it in the episode notes as well.
Sure. Look, we're doing a lot these days to try and help people better understand these ideas and work with professionals like yourself to extend, you know, the audience of what are, you know, breakthroughs in financial science. And as they've been influential in Dimensional's business, the way that we've approached applying them in real life. As you said, we've launched some ETFs in the United States that are another way for investors to access Dimensional. We've run separately managed accounts in Australia and other parts of the world for many years, again, for institutions, and helping investors get good results, you know, in a sort of customized way. And we'll continue to evolve those structures themselves. But for the ideas themselves, again, big push on trying to help people understand this through, you know, channels such as social media. Obviously, this chat with you is one example of that. And and we're looking, you know, to provide an advanced or an improved access to these ideas on our website. So I'd encourage people to have a look at the website, dimensional.com, for information. And obviously those financial advisors and professionals like yourself, Nige, that have spent the time to do your due diligence on our business and the ideas themselves and ensure that they meet the needs of your investors, your clients. So I'd say they're the best places at this point in time, and we'll continue to work on advocating for the great work that you know, wonderful advice you know, can deliver for investors. Because as I said, it's one thing to have great investments, but without good advice, you know, it's nowhere near going to deliver the great outstanding results that we do see and have seen for many years now. So we'll keep working on that as well.
Brilliant, Nave. Well, yeah, our mission here is to share this information with as many people as we can, and give access to advice for more Australians through connecting to advisors and obviously using some digital formats as well. So again, thanks so much for sharing your time today and your insights and your journey and your story around it. Really appreciate it. And of course, if anyone wants to reach out to Dimensional Direct, go to the website, which will be on the site. So thanks again. Any passing last comments before we switch off for today?
Can't think of anything further, Nige. So I really appreciated the opportunity to have a chat with you, and thank you for taking the time to have a discussion with me. I hope that those listening to the podcast have found it useful.
So that was Nathan Krieger from Dimensional Fund Advisors. Really hope you enjoyed that. I'm Nigel Baker from cntm.com.au. Please check us out. Go to our website. Go to our YouTube channels, all our social media, like and share, comment. We really want to hear from you. I think this was one of our best episodes so far. I think Nathan was fantastic in the way he explained the Dimensional business, which is really a fascinating business. So get online, check out dimensional.com.au and ask us if you have any questions, or go to cntm.com.au and sign in. Thanks for listening. So thanks so much for listening in to today's podcast. Just remember, it is general information. If you need personal advice, please seek an advisor or go to our website, cntm.com.au, log in, and we can direct you if you need more help. Also, we just want to remind you, if you're loving this stuff, please like and subscribe and share it around. We're really enjoying spreading the word around Super. And hope you enjoyed. So please do like and look out for the next episode. Cheers.